In today's episode, we will be talking exclusively about ourselves. So if you're not interested in getting to know the folks who will be reviewing your K-dramas, then hit that follow button and we'll see you in the next episode. If you're still listening, we will be talking about our respective K-drama journeys, what we look for in K-dramas, and our favorites.
Achakan.
Samchun Show, Sohwak Heng, Manila,
Philippines.
Durama Podcaster, please follow our show.
Hello everyone, my name is Aji and I am one half of the Samchons.
Hello everyone, my name is Robin and I'm the other half of the Samchons and I have a PhD in hobbies.
Let's get the ball rolling for the second part of our introductory episode. Robin, I am so curious. However, did you get into K-dramas?
Short answer or long answer?
Let's start with a short answer.
Lee Kwang Soo.
Ha? Kwang Soo? Okay, how about the long answer?
Well, you asked for short. Okay. Don't blame me. Okay, long answer. Going back. 2 years ago, I was introduced to K-drama. I watched The Sound of Your Heart, which starred Lee Kwang Soo. It was really light, really funny, more like an Asian comedy sitcom, like The Office, stuff like that. But from there, since I was unemployed, Netflix and chill was pretty much my full-time job, sadly.
Hey.
I think the first thing that I watched after Sound of Your Heart was Prison Playbook because I was drawn to the premise. I thought it was going to be about baseball and I wanted to watch sports series. But no, it was not about baseball, sadly. But happily, on the positive note, it was really well written. The world, the cast of characters was given very deep backstories, which I really, really enjoyed. Like the immersion that I felt with that show's world. It was really good. I think more than anything, the emotional experience of having watched that through a span of maybe a week at that time. And the payoff at the end and missing those characters and the kind of emptiness you get when you say goodbye to a friend. That's how it felt, you know? And it was really such a cathartic experience. It was really good. I just felt really alive, you know? And from there, since that was on Netflix, of course, the algorithm would recommend other Korean dramas. So it was a very slippery slope. I went through Miseng, I went through Stranger, and then I ended up following Live because it also starred Lee Kwang Soo. So I was very excited to watch the weekly episodes of that. And I think that was the first time I followed a show that wasn't Game of Thrones, I think. So Netflix was really a big help, you know, with converting me to the K-drama religion. Well, so for the good part of the last 2 years, K-drama has been funny as it may seem. It has been a way of life. I loved following Itaewon Class and Hospital Playlist just earlier this year. And, you know, I was really so excited to go home from work to watch the new episodes as they came. So those new episodes for me, it was my Sohwak Heng. Hey, using hey. Your intro. So now everyone knows how I got into it. That's my story. But since, like, let's be real here. You were the main pusher of K-drama in my life. Like, you were the one who introduced me to Sound of Your Heart. So I'm curious how you actually got into it. We've never really talked about it before, you know. So, yeah, Aji, go for it. Tell us about your journey.
Okay, get ready because...
Long answer.
This is already the long answer. And I will start from the very, very beginning. And this was back in 2012. I was running out of movies to watch. And that's when I stumbled on Korean movies. I had watched a lot of Thai and Japanese movies because I love horror, but I had never really tried Korean. So I Google, please sponsor us, the top grossing box office movies, and that's when I came across Speedy Scandal. And that's a 2008 family flick featuring the lovable Park Bo-young of Strong Woman Do Bong-soon and Oh My Ghost fame. So when I discovered her, I fell into a deep, deep hole. And I ended up watching her other appearances, which led me to Running Man. Because she guested in an episode, and when I saw that episode, bam, I fell in love with Running Man.
With Park Bo-young. Ah, okay.
I had already fallen in love with Park Bo-young. Okay. But I fell in love with Running Man and Korean variety shows in general. And I have to say, Running Man is probably the biggest gateway drug because so many celebrities go on it. So when people watch their favorite celebrity on Running Man, they see where else that celebrity has been on. And then I guess that's how they get into K-dramas because that's how I got into K-dramas.
Ironically, everything's enough, about you.
Just kidding. I was just saying maybe.
Jeez. No, sorry.
But, you know, ironically, it was not the guests that got me into K-dramas. Because in the same year that I discovered Running Man, it was announced that two of the cast members, Song Joong-ki, who you may know as Big Boss from Descendants of the Sun.
Metal Gear Solid?
What? Oh, yes. I was a bit slow on that, but yes.
Yeah, I've never seen that. That's why. All right, go
Crossing
on,
Crossing Worlds. And Lee Kwang-soo, our favorite. And they were starring in a drama called Innocent Man. And that drama was a revenge melodrama focusing on Song Joong-ki's revenge on his ex-girlfriend after he took the fall for her. So she was supposed to go to jail for homicide. But he asked her to run away and then he took the blame for it. But then eventually, she decides to backstab him. And while she's in jail, she leaves him for a chaebol owner.
Wait,
money, yo.
Alright, so I think this is a good time to introduce a recurring segment of our pod moving forward. We are going to call it Hangul Hangouts by Aji Sajang. So please, basically, we're going to explain often used Korean words during the pod. So please explain the word chaebol for everyone.
Chaebol is the Korean word for a group of companies owned by a family. In a Korean setting, these are the Samsung Group, the LG Group, and the CJ Group, who owns TVN, by the way, and TVN owns our favorite dramas. And a usual trope in K-dramas involves the male lead or the female lead belonging to a chaebol family.
Thank you, Aji Sajang. May our podcast be sponsored by a chaebol one day. I'm looking at you, Samsung. Let's go back to your discussion of Innocent Man.
Now, that show was like a mix of Western shows and J-dramas, so I felt intrigued. Unfortunately, after that show, I didn't find any other good ones, and I still had Running Man to watch. Fast forward to 2016, Descendants of the Sun came out, and that was the first show that I started watching weekly. When I finished that, I found out about Signal, because it was generating buzz as one of the cable shows that reached double digits. And for context, cable shows back then almost never reached double digits. It was super rare. So I got hooked into that. And from there, I discovered Missing, and it just snowballed. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I eat K-dramas for dinner.
And I eat them for my midnight snack to go along with my Shin Ramyun. And
that sounds so good.
So it is good, but not good for your belly. Okay? Don't do that, ladies and gentlemen. For some context, a Signal is a thriller, and Missing it's about. Okay, I think Aji will discuss that later on. So, okay,
yeah,
tune in. Okay, so now that everyone knows how we fell into this very deep but lovely hole of K drama, I think it's a good time to talk about what we usually look for in our K-drama, you know, the things that make us fall even further in love with it. So, Aji, you want to start. But before you start, just want to say, Kim Dami, Saranghae.
What? That came out of nowhere. So, your preference is for Kim Dami?
Yes.
Okay. That is a very short answer.
Yes.
But I like it. That's valid. I like it. Okay, so Robin, I think you put me in a spot because it'd be hard to distinguish my tastes from yours. And if it weren't evident already, Robin and I have very similar tastes when it comes to our favorite K-dramas. I personally enjoy thrillers or K-dramas which excel in providing tension for the viewers. There are some K-dramas that I wouldn't call thrillers per se, but they are very, very good at keeping you at the edge of your seat and wanting more. I also enjoy K-drama which are character-driven, and I find that it's difficult to find a K-drama where the biggest strength of the show is its plot. I'm sorry, I had to say it. And, you know, even if there were, it's usually not enough. The strength of the plot is not enough to compensate for the other aspects of the show. So if there's anything or if there's something that I'd hate to admit, it's that K-dramas generally aren't good with their endings. So as long as K-dramas aren't too messy with their plot, or if a particular K-drama isn't too out of this world, then I can usually forgive it.
I had to immediately speak after you stopped because I wanted to cut you off so bad. Because what's a K-drama with a plot that's too messy? Like, can you explain it more? Because I can honestly only think of one.
Life. When I watched the first episode of Life, there were so many things happening. There were politics between the owners of the hospital and the politicians, and then there were these plot lines of politics between doctors, and then, you know, I just couldn't understand what the focus of the show was about. And even when they tried to explain it, they were pretty bad at explaining it.
Yeah, I actually lived through that hell to confirm. It is true. It was pretty bad. Life, no life on my end.
Wow.
No, seriously. The only reason why I gave that a shot was because it had the same male lead as Stranger, which I really liked. And I thought, okay, you know, maybe it'll get better. Episode 6, episode 7, episode 8. Oh, wait, I finished it. No, bad, still bad by the end. My God. And you know, but I learned from that. So after two episodes with The King, sorry, Lee Min Ho stands out there, but the plot was honestly very confusing for me. I haven't felt any need to go back. So is your gauge the same for when you start a new drama and see if it'll be worth watching? Like two episodes?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, I usually give a K-drama 2 to 3 episodes, but with the amount I've watched and at the rate I want to watch K-dramas, I can usually tell within an episode if I like a K-drama based on its pacing, its production, its acting, and the general, you know, plot and mood of it. But I would say the most important factor in my enjoyment of K-dramas is its cathartic value. And that's the biggest basis of my favorites list. If a K-drama is able to move me or make me feel intense emotions or affect my worldview, then it's a thumbs up. Because my memory is bad, whenever I'm remembering shows, instead of remembering plot points, I usually focus on how that show made me feel, or if it made me feel anything at all. How about you, Robs?
Well, as you already mentioned, most of our preferences are nearly the same. That's why I had to get it out of the way that I will watch anything that Kim Dami...
Kim Dami.
Love Kim Dami. Congratulations. I'll talk about the K-drama that I generally avoid. So it would be the ones with, you know, near fantasy plots or like unrealistic plots like Crash Landing on You, which I enjoyed, but Goblin and The King, but not because I think they're bad, but more of I reserve my fantasy consumption for when I read books like The Witcher or when I play video games also like The Witcher. But as you can see, like, I have a lot of hobbies, so I need to maximize my K-drama time. So I feel that their approach for fantasy or the way they do fantasy isn't really for me. And of course, I also tend to not be drawn to very rom-com heavy drama because it usually focuses a lot on the visuals of the leads, which, truth be told, I don't really mind. They're very good looking people. Like Park Min-young is very good looking. But, you know, there's so much great content there for me to see. Like, I feel bad for not pushing through with Mother, and I still haven't finished it. Because, you know, there's so much great content, and I think that watching these kinds of shows, even though they might be good, they might be bad, they're just not such a great use of my time, you know?
Oh, okay. So to all our listeners out there who are big fans of those shows and disagree with Robin, you know to get your pitchforks ready. He said it.
you can send me emails. We don't have an email yet, so ha!
So is it safe to say, Robs, that when you watch your K-dramas, you were not looking for Kilig or that rom-com feeling?
Maybe it'll change with Kim Dami. But from a general point of view, yeah, it's not such a big consideration for me. I think...
Yeah, I get that.
Just no. Sorry.
I get that.
Yeah. But, you know, going back to discuss the things that I actually look for between the two of us, I think you enjoy thrillers, you know, a lot more. It took me months to actually finish Signal. And,
yeah,
of course, this also shows the difference between the two of us in terms of our commitment to watch K-drama. Like, it took me quite a while to finish Signal just because it wasn't on Netflix. I think that serves as evidence that a thriller doesn't have such a strong pull on me. Because unlike Hot Stove League, sports drama about baseball, I finished that in 4 days, even though it wasn't on Netflix.
That's why we need more sports dramas.
Yeah, we do. Well, at least I do. But like you, for me, my main barometer for a good K-drama, in terms of like my personal list, not the technical aspect of it, is basically the emotional experience that I get out of it. Like, I hate to copy-paste your work, but catharsis is really the perfect word for it. More than anything, I feel that I watch K-dramas because I use it as a way to live vicariously. You know, like, we're just worker ants, man. K-dramas have such well-crafted characters that I sometimes are aspirational, sometimes are not, but they're very memorable and they're very interesting to know. So basically, I love those dramas with characters that I personally will remember and will cherish for a very, very long time, like Kim Dami. And this is, and you know, you'll see in my favorite shows, you'll see.
Well, speaking of, since you already started it, why don't you just go ahead and start with your favorite shows?
All right. I kind of got mad at you for this mental activity since you wanted me to force rank shows. And it was pretty difficult for me considering that there are certain shows with very different genres that were on the cusp of making it to my list. But all right, let's just go for it. My top three, I'd call them 1A, 1B, and 1C. Like, all on equal footing. I love them all equally.
That's unfair, by the way.
You gotta give me some slack. I did the podcast. My God. Just do this alone.
Okay, fine. I'll take that 1A, 1B, 1C, all 1D. Right.
No. Just 1A to 1C. Okay, so that would be Live, Reply 1988, and Hospital Playlist. So from this top three, I think it's quite obvious why they're in there. They all have a memorable ensemble of characters, and all of them just focus on life with no really overarching conflict that you have to fix, or there's no like very clear-cut plot, you know? And I guess this is partly why the viewership ratings for these aren't incredibly high, but they are like in my top picks. Okay. So for my next one, of course, it's only going to be Itaewon Class, right?
Of course.
It's a beautiful show with beautiful visuals, like Kim Dami and Park Seo Joon. Park Seo Joon, very good looking guy. But then with Itaewon Class, when I was first watching it, I thought it was going to make it to my top list, you know. But then it kind of falls off in the end. And after watching it, after some time to actually think about it, it was very heavily carried by its two leads. So there are a lot of memorable scenes and a lot of memorable quotes and one of the best OSTs out there. But as a whole, I don't think it compares to my top three. All right. So from there to round out my top seven. So that's been four. I have Hot Stove League, which I mentioned earlier, Prison mm-hmm. Playbook, and Stranger. So starting with Hot Stove League, I feel that Nam Gung Min and Park Eun Bin, they were practically the leads there. They played very strong parts in a very well-written, plot-driven drama. So among my list so far, I think Stove League is the most plot-driven alongside Stranger. So with Stranger, yeah. It was memorable for me, partly because it was the first K-drama thriller that I watched. And then it went through a lot of politics as well. Similar to Life, actually. But then with Stranger, it's actually done well. It's actually written well. It's actually concluded well. So it's very neat.
Everything not Life.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Basically. Okay.
Yeah. Quality was a Stranger to Life. Hey.
Wow.
Making
wow.
them Sam Chan jokes.
Wow.
Yeah, but I'm very excited for the second season. I'm sure that you are as well. I think it's coming out in July. So my August. Last... Oh, sorry. Yeah, August. There you go. My last one on the list is Prison Playbook. And I think it's very apparent right now that I have certain biases towards PD Shin made K-drama. And I think for Prison Playbook, in terms of quality, on another day, I might actually pick the likes of Sky Castle over it. But for mm-hmm. me, Prison Playbook served as my gateway drug to the K-drama world. So it right now, it deserves that last spot. I still honestly have the OST downloaded on my phone, and listening to it makes me feel nostalgic of those days. You know, I was just a full-time K-drama watcher. I wasn't a worker ant yet. Life was, I wouldn't say better, but I had a lot more opportunity to live vicariously. So, you know, yeah, but yeah, K-dramas. Yeah, since then, since watching Prison Playbook, I've been hooked. Each episode, honestly, feels like a movie, as we've mentioned before. So, yeah.
That one particularly felt like
Prison Playbook?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really well made. And it also helps that Crystal Jung was there. Looks like a lot like Yuna. So
what? Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so maybe that I should add that to my preferences. It helps when there is a pretty lady on screen.
I kind of feel disappointed and disrespected, I have to say, because you mentioned Dami and you mentioned Crystal of all leads, but you didn't mention John Mito.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I am not that big of a fan of Noona.
What?
Like you do. I love
John Me Doe.
Oi. I think it's your turn. Oi. Don't attack me for my apparent lack of love for John Me Doe.
Okay, fair enough.
Go, Aji. It's your turn.
So if Robin has his Kim Dami, then I have my John Me Doe. And it's kind of sad that Hospital Playlist is her first work, but I will surely.
No, it's not. 100... She's in Mother.
As a lead.
Okay, fine.
So, I mean, I need more John Mi Do, and I will watch whatever she comes out with.
Same.
So, yeah, it would be easy to say ditto to your list, because really there's a lot of similarities, and even the ones you mentioned that aren't going to make my list could have made it on any other day. But as you said, it kind of depends on your mood, and I will try to justify the ones that made my list today in my own words.
Well, now, let's start with... Not anyone. We don't have the resources to hire a scriptwriter here, huh? Who do you think we are? Sponsored by Google? Google, please sponsor us.
Sponsor us.
All right, going back.
Let's start with our number one, Live. And yes, it has been my top pick since I watched it. Although I have to say that it's only managed to keep that top spot because of my attachment to Kwangsu. And Live was a drama that made me rethink how I viewed police officers, especially coming from where we're from, and especially at this time. On the other hand, Mother has been cemented as my top melodrama, because of how well developed the relationship was between the mother and the daughter. And just so everyone knows, I finished this drama in 24 hours, give or take. And it's also the one show that's made me cry repeatedly in separate episodes.
You mean repeatedly in one episode?
In separate episodes. Because I cried like 3 times in each episode.
Yeah, exactly. Like you didn't just cry in separate episodes. You cried multiple times in each episode.
Like, yes. Yes.
Yes. This is why I don't want to watch it. I don't want to cry. Things are too sad right now. But oi, sorry. I cut you off. My bad.
It's fine. I was just getting right into the meat of it. And now we have Reply 1988, which is an amazing nostalgia trip, which balances life and love very well. The next on my list is Hospital Playlist. And it has an asterisk because I do think it can shake up my top 3, but that depends largely on season 2. As it is, it's a great drama that feels a little bit unfinished due to the unresolved stories between the characters. But it has a very, very lovable main cast and a heartfelt OST recorded by that cast, John Mido, who took the
Philippines.
He did not sing in the OST, but he sang a special song in the Baeksang Award. So for the Ujuholics out there, you ought to check that out. But going back to my point, the cast of Hospital Playlist took time to learn the instruments. Where else can you find that dedication to their art?
Freaky Friday and K-drama world.
In the K-drama world.
Okay.
And then I would follow that up with Miseng, which I have to say is an eerily accurate depiction of corporate life for all the salarymen and corporate women out there. You know what I'm talking about. It tackles the ups and downs and the politics of the workplace. And to round off my list, my last two are Hello My 20s, which is another slice of life drama with imperfect characters and relatable problems. The acting, I'd say, is relatively weaker compared to the other entries on this list, but you'll still feel like you're part of their group of friends. And also, Park and Bin. You know, right, Robin? Park and Bin.
Yeah. Very cute.
To round out my list, I am choosing The Sound of Your Heart. And
Hot take alert!
It's not. Because true to its name, it's lacking in a lot of things, but it does not lack heart.
And wow.
Fine, the other dramas like Prison Playbook and Stranger normally would be seen as better dramas than The Sound of Your Heart, but nothing has made me laugh like The Sound of Your Heart. And I feel like I can easily recommend it to anyone regardless of their taste, and they'll like it. You know, so after saying all of that, I don't think there's a need to discuss anymore. I mean, we're not going to argue with each other's list.
Nah, especially that last point. I think that's a great, great point about Sound of Your Heart being very easily recommendable to
you said anyone. It was a hot take. You said it was a hot take.
Yeah, for a top 7. It's a whole different category, Aji. But I'm not gonna fight you on that. I'm never going to win this battle.
To the people who agree with me, please do send me a message. Send us a message so I can show Robin that it deserves its place.
All right, but yeah. Overall, no surprises. Of course, no surprises. Except maybe Hello My 20s, but maybe that's because as assumption, I'm feeling 40.
You don't relate.
I can't relate to their problems anymore. That's why I dropped it. Like, that's so high school. That high school
was
10 years ago, but feels like 30 years ago.
30 years ago.
All right. Yeah.
That's a wrap for our introductions. Tune in next week as we begin our review series.
Ooh, exciting. So again, annyeong everyone. This has been Samchon Robin
and Samchon Aji. This has been
the Samchon Show.
Your go-to show for K-drama content.
Kamsahamnida.
Kamsahamnida.